Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Take Command Podcast. Craig Hoffman here. Logan Paulson there. One more element of the run game that we should talk about, Logan, is Jaden Daniels and the effect he has on a defense. Because when you have a run game that is, I'm going to use the word predictable. And again, this is predictable within this game, not necessarily larger trends on the season. Like, predictable in that Cliff found something that they really liked in Anthony Lynn and that staff. And then they were like, we're just going to hit it till they stop it. Tennessee never stopped it, so they just kept on doing the same things, and they would run the same exact play sometimes, same exact personnel, same exact formation, and they would get almost the same exact results, so why would you change? But if you're Tennessee defense, part of the reason why you don't just be like, oh, well, we've seen this before and sell out is there is a Jaden Daniels factor on the backside of some of these plays. And it's their GT play, but it's also a zone read, or there's an RPO on the backside of whatever run, where there's a bubble here and then a different one of their runs, they have like the slants or they're running stick on the backside. How do you feel like Jaden was as like a decision maker in how he executed that, and what impact could you see that having on the Tennessee defense, even though his rushing total, we'll talk about him as a scrambler more in a second, but like his rushing total wasn't huge in this game, but I think he had a huge, you know, hidden impact if you're talking about the stat sheet.
I mean, a huge hidden impact. I mean, even on the B-Rob touchdown. So when you're blocking GT, right, which is a touchdown play to B-Rob, right? So you're pulling those two guards. The guy that normally makes the play is like the backside linebacker, right? And so in this play, because they're bringing like a safety down front side and they're bringing the front side linebacker on a blitz and the safety's replacing, you're really short, right? Because usually the blocking surface blocks linebackers and defensive linemen. But when that safety's in there, you got to block him because he's basically a linebacker. So you're short to the front side of the run. So if that guy plays that correctly, he could end up making that tackle for probably a 3-yard gain. However, like, Jaden's got the read on the backside. And so on the backside, you got Zach arcing for the hook player, right? Who is this kind of linebacker type player. And Zach's got a bad angle to him. But when Jaden carries out the ball fake, the defensive end and the backside linebacker both take steps to cover him, right? And you talk about carrying out fakes, like, that was something at any level of football that is so important to the run game. Because if you can get those guys to just stop for a second, B-Rob's going to score a touchdown. And that's one example, right? There's another play where they run GT with Chris Rodriguez. It's the same thing. He carries out the ball fake. Both linebacker and defensive end step out. There's a huge crease. Don't even block that guy. C. Rodriguez just runs right by him, right? They run a wham, and Jaden acts like he's carrying out the boot with the zone read. And the linebacker fits the wrong gap because he thinks, oh, I got to carry to Jaden. Oh, no, I got to get downhill. And there's two guys in a gap. And Rodriguez hits it for a huge gain. So in terms of hidden yardage, I mean, he deserves a ton of credit for all the blocking that he did. And it's not like he's physically mashing on people, but they're just aware of his presence. And rightfully so, because he can kill you. Absolutely, he can kill you. But I just think, like, that is the type of stuff that this run game has that no other run game in the NFL has. Maybe Indianapolis or something like that. But
at Baltimore.
Baltimore, right? When you have guys that are dynamic like that, you have to always be aware of them keeping the football. And I honestly, in watching the film, I was like, what was Tennessee's actual plan for the zone read, for the keep? because every team we've played over the last couple of weeks has had a very clear plan. We're going to pinch the defensive end. We're going to loop this backside hook player. We're going to take it away. We're going to give you false reads. We're going to play man-to-man coverage. And I felt like Tennessee was like, we're just going to play our normal defense. And it's like, versus a player like Jaden Daniels, you can't do that. You can't. It just doesn't work. And so that was something that really jumped out to me, was maybe he didn't get, you know, didn't have 100 yards rushing. But he, I mean, the first explosive play he helps on, right? The two explosive Chris Rodriguez runs, like, he's the reason that they're misfitting those runs. So he didn't get 100 himself, but he definitely contributed to how productive and effective this run game was.
It's kind of wild because Denard Wilson, the Tennessee defensive coordinator, comes from Baltimore. It's like, yeah. Don't you watch what teams do to Lamar?
Maybe that's why they space the defensive ends out a little bit more to make the read a little bit muddy. But it's like, that's that's something I remember from when Robert was here. If you space the defensive ends out, get width, then just hand the ball off because there's a crease there now naturally, right? And that's essentially what they did, right? It was like when B-Rob in the low red, we were just talking about this play, they're in 12 personnel with Ben Sinnott and he's coming back across the formation and they're running a zone read. The defensive end is so wide. He just hands it to B-Rob and B-Rob doesn't get touched till he's on the goal line. You know what I mean? And then obviously Terry scores the next play, but like that's, I don't know what they were thinking, honestly. Like, I don't see a clear vision in terms of plan for stopping the run. And again, like, kudos to Cliff, kudos to Anthony Lynn, kudos to Jaden. They all did their part, but again, like, they were helped out schematically because it just felt like Tennessee was like, we're better than you. And obviously they weren't.
Yeah, there's a couple times where I thought Jaden made the right decision to pull it, and then you know, guys made plays. And there's one where exactly what you talked about earlier, where like the linebacker comes over, like defensive end crashes, linebacker covers, and I'm like, ooh, it's one of those where like you're hitting pause, try to watch some couple things, and you're like, this is going to be a big get. Never mind.
Yeah,
and just like linebacker appears and it gets strung out. But you can see it in plenty of the big games where he gives it in this one to where they're able to get that. Obviously, they play off the zone read that where there's been a huge play for them in the red zone to get the touchdown to Ertz. I know they set that up a little bit differently that they've been running zone read, but like it just shows you like unless you have a Luke Kuechly, a Roquan Smith, one of these linebackers that has this encyclopedic knowledge, a Bobby Wagner, of what the other team is doing, guys are mostly out there playing, and they're not as attuned to all these little details that might be a tell, that might be a give. And I feel like Washington really took advantage of that. And I think another example of this that we can talk about with Jaden's performance and that also obviously plays into Cliff is how Cliff stacked personnel. I mean, I charted personnel in this one. I don't know how I choose what I chart, what extra piece of information.
Sometimes you text me, you're like, let's talk about personnel. I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, let's do it. You know what I mean?
Sometimes as a game, it starts first couple, whatever. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Let's track this.
Let's see how it goes.
Sometimes it's a box count thing. Sometimes it's personnel. But like, you know, the first three plays of the game, they're all in 12 personnel. Then they get out in the second, their second drive of the game, which is like a 10, 11 play drive. The first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 plays are all in 11. They go to 13 for one play, which they try to take a shot, that tight end leak to Sinnott. I want to talk about that play more in a second anyway. But then they go right back to 11. So like on a 10 play drive, 8 of them are in 11. Now the people are changing, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's Sinnott, sometimes it's Ertz, sometimes it's Bates. And then the receivers, sometimes it's Terry, Luke, Diami, OZ. Like they're all changing. But as a defense, often you're not going to match the people. You're going to match the personnel grouping.
Yeah.
And so offensively, you're rotating in fresh guys. Defensively, if you're sustaining drives, you're just getting tired. And so I think that then Jaden was able to really attack some of those guys, attack some of those things. And you get some of the, you know, just tired players out on your dudes. And, you know, whether it's slipped something to Zach up a seam here, or, you know, knowing, hey, I got a good matchup with Terry over here. Like they did a good job of, and it also, by the way, shows the compounding nature of being efficient, converting first downs. Like you don't get that effect unless you can be efficient and actually convert the first downs, because then you don't get the 8-play drive. Yeah. But I feel like they did a really good job of that offensively, and then Jaden took advantage of some key spots and really did, I feel like, a good job in key situations looking for Terry, looking, you know, as DQ called it, looking for the lead dogs, the lead sled dogs to pull them down the field and put up this 42 points.
Yeah, 100%. I think the other thing too is just the stuff you talked about there. And this is like more fundamental, like more simplistic maybe, but it's like their first down efficiency in this game was crazy. It's the best it's been in the past couple of weeks. And, you know, some of that's moving Terry around the front. But I also think, again, kudos to Cliff. It's just like they're going to play quarters. Like, what's the weak spot in a quarter's coverage?
Right.
It's like the hitch spot. So just let's throw a bunch of hitches. You know what I mean?
And they threw way more on first down. And it's like, it was stealing yards.
Yeah, it's like, let's not overthink this. And I think that's something I have a lot of respect for Cliff for in my like couple limited conversations is it's like, let's not overcomplicate this thing, man. Like, if this is good, like, we're going to run it. And I think that that's something that you see in this game 100%. It's like, oh, let's just, what's an easy throw? Oh, let's run a hitch to Terry. Great. And I love the concept too, because it's like, hey, we've got a really good zone beater here if we're not getting the coverage we want. But if we get quarters, like, throw the hitch to Terry. It's to the field. Like, it's going to be because of the three receiver side is to the offensive right. The flat player is going to push to that side, right? So you're just going to get a normal hook player to Terry's side. So boom, let's hit it, right? And I think just easy stuff like that. And again, like, it helps when you, again, the first down on that play, I think there's a completion to Noah Brown and like a similar hitch type look. I think it's like a little sit route. It gets you to second and one. There was a bunch of plays in this game. Like you mentioned the Zach Ertz play, which was on second and four. Like that second and four, like now they have to defend the run. They have to defend the pass. They have to defend everything that I have in my playbook. So I can run a little cute little rinky dink play action there. And it's off an action. They don't even run that much. I fake the pitch to B-Rob. Every linebacker is within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage and Zach is up the seam. And it's like, that doesn't work on second and 10. Like that part of the offense isn't there. And so I think that was really cool to see. Even the touchdown that Zach Ertz had, which you just talked about off that zone read, that's third and two. So that's not third and five. That's not third and six. That's not going to work in a longer down and distance situation. The completion to Terry was like a third and one, like something like that. Yeah. The, you know, like where they kind of, it looks like Jaden's booting out to the left and he looks like he's going to run and the safety steps up and he just dinks it over to Terry for a completion.
Yep.
Like that stuff doesn't work in longer down and distances. It just doesn't. And that's where this offense has been crazy effective. So to see the running efficiency increase, again, I think B-Rob offensive line deserves a ton of credit for that. But also just like to your point, we're going to throw the ball a little bit more on first down. We're going to find some of these opportunities. That is to me the thing that is the difference. Like if you're looking saying, oh, why didn't they do this versus Dallas or do it versus Philly or do it versus Pittsburgh? It's because on first and second down, they weren't as good. And I think you just see what this offense can be and most offenses can be. But credit to Cliff because he's been able to find this multiple times this year where first down looks great, second down looks great. And now our third and short package is off the chain because our quarterback can run. We've got all these guys that can get open versus man-to-man coverage, and it's awesome. But it doesn't work in longer down and distances. So I think to me that was the number. I said it in the post game, but when you watch the film, it just jumps out on the film for you. Like there's no – one of the things I was worried about was Tennessee's crazy blitz package. There was not a lot of opportunity for them to run it because we weren't in any kind of third and long situation. So credit to Cliff, credit to the staff, great execution on first down, but this is the formula offensively for them, and this is how they have to how they have to be successful. To be fair – that's most teams in the NFL. Like you can't, it's hard, unless you're the Kansas City Chiefs, right? It's hard to be bad on first and second down and then win a third and long, unless you got Patrick Mahomes, right? That's just a fact. Right. But for us, this is how we got to do it. And I love how they got there with the game plan runs, with the throwing on first down, with just a crisp execution.
And I think also when you look at it, like they were devastating on third down at times. Like it's third and one and they get to 16.
Yeah.
Like they're getting chunk plays because the defense is just like, I don't know what to cover here. Like we can't give up a yard. We have to be really aggressive. And then, you know, it's a play action fake or whatever. They're playing man to man on the outside. You get Terry, on a good matchup and he gets a huge gain. And I think that was the other thing too, with McLaurin, we talk about like Jaden's decision-making in this game. They really use Terry in key spots. I meant to tally this up, but I want to say like 5 or 6 of his 8 catches were on third down or in the red zone. Like they picked their spots, and that's probably why it felt like Terry had a buck 50 receiving when he only had 80 something. Like it was a really, really sensational job of saying, okay, we're in a high leverage situation. now let's move Terry to the right, move Terry to the slot, move Terry here, get this matchup, or like now we're going to pull out the thing that we've been setting up all game. And so I think that was really fantastic from Cliff as well. And then talk about execution, like Jaden puts the ball on him and Terry has 8 catches on 8 targets. Like that's big time stuff from your best players when you need it. And that's how you put up 42 points on any NFL team.
Yeah, and just going through the clips while you were talking, because it's a great point. The first 3rd and 1 is a slant to Terry. The 3rd and 2 in the red zone is Terry's touchdown, right, off of play action. And again, like, that's awesome. The 3rd and 3 down in the red zone where Terry catches his 2nd touchdown, those are huge moments, right, where you got to kind of, again, look to your lead sled dog. And great job by Cliff getting them formationally right to get them those opportunities. But those are big downs. And, you know, like if you think about last week versus Dallas, like one of the early 3rd and 2s, we drop a slant that gets us off the field and kind of gets us out of offensive, gets the Commanders out of their offensive rhythm. Like, why risk it? Let's get the ball to Terry. He's going to catch that ball. And, you know, one of Ludden's favorite sayings on the broadcast is like, death, taxes, and Terry McLaurin on a slant. Like, and it's not untrue. Like, he just has a really good knack for running those routes in those moments. And again, Cliff moved around a little bit. It wasn't crazy. I think it was like,
well, that's the thing, right? It was a tweak, right? So typically they've lined him up. I pulled these up yesterday. They've lined him up somewhere between like 6 and 10 times on the right in most games. And like this week was like 11 or something like that. Yeah. But they also did use him a little bit more in the slot, a little bit more on the right. And that's the thing. Terry's having the best season of his career. This offense has been prolific for most of the season. They didn't need to reinvent the wheel and like go 50-50 splits and like have Terry moving around like he's Justin Jefferson. Just do it a little bit more often and do it in really important points to where the Titans defense is like, oh, this is different. What do we do now? And that's what they did. And they executed.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And the other thing too is like, I think this is when you run 82 plays, you get to see more of the offense. And like when you're struggling, we said this on the post game review, when you play Pittsburgh, when you play Philly, when you play a Dallas defense that seems to kind of have your number a little bit on the day, you don't get to see this stuff. And I think that was the other thing about this, which was great, is you saw the full kind of gambit of what they wanted to be and what they want to be offensively. You can do some different stuff. You mentioned the screen to Diami in our production meeting, like all that stuff. Like they ran 2 or 3 screens before that weren't very good, but then they hit that one because they had more time of possession and they got the ball more and they could keep taking bites at the apple. And like when you're really rolling offensively, like that's what you get, is more of those kind of opportunities. And I think when you juxtapose that or compare that to Tennessee, right, you don't get to really see Tennessee's offense because they're in this kind of hurry up, shot down the field look. You don't carry a lot of those plays. So a lot of it's redundant. It's very messy. It's challenging. It's gross. Like, that's hard. And that's kind of where this team has been the past couple of weeks, with kind of tough sledding, challenging looks from the defense. And here, all of a sudden, we get to kind of do what we want to do. And I think it leads to a very positive result.
So just for comparison's sake, at the 10:52 mark, then they did that 3. So with 1:52 to go in the first half, the Titans had run 13 plays.
Yeah.
13. They ran 10, and they were down 28-0. They get the ball back, go 3 and out. The Commanders go on a massive drive that eats up a ton of clock. It's a missed field goal drive. And they get the ball back with 1:52 to go in the third quarter. Or sorry, in the first half. And they have run 13 plays in the game. It's impossible to get to anything.
Yeah.
And one last point on the Commanders' ability to extend drives that I just want to hit, it's more specific to Jaden, is he is... like, this felt like the old offense in that when Tennessee did do things right, he still converted to successful plays. A couple of plays to highlight real quick. I mentioned this play a little bit earlier. That tight end leak, 5:01 to go in the first quarter. They try to run Ben Sinnott up the seam on this leak play. It's a shot. They kind of run Noah on a post. Sinnott comes back off of play action across the formation, leaks up. It's one of my favorite. I always just love this football play because it's just like, ah, sneaky tight end going up the seam on the backside. And Tennessee covers it perfectly. So Jaden scrambles for 5 yards, and all of a sudden it's 2nd and 5. because it was on a first and 10. Couple drives later, there is on a first down. This is the last play of the first quarter. They run a play action boot. Jaden comes to his right. It's a three-level read. High's covered, medium's covered, low's covered. He runs for 7 yards. Yeah. It's second and three. Like, that ability to take perfect coverage and turn it into a successful play was how the Commanders' offense was so prolific earlier in the season, because it keeps you in the good down and distances. It extends drives. It does all the things that we just talked about. And even, like, they run that flea flicker in the middle of that big, long drive I just referenced where it ends in the missed field goal. Yeah. And I actually think he could have thrown Terry here. It would have been a little bit of a riskier throw, but, like, I think Terry's open. But he decides, it's not what I want right now. He throws the ball to Noah Brown, nice 7 yards, check down, curl route. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He actually had a true check down to B-Rob later in the game. And I was like, oh, well, he doesn't do that often. Normally he tries to scramble or whatever, but nice little check down in the flat to B-Rob. So this ability to take quote-unquote perfect coverage and turn it into 5, 6, 7 yard gains, like, that's how you stay efficient as an offense. And I thought Jaden did a spectacular job of that in this game.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think, like, that's – I'm really glad you brought that up, because I had that in my notes and I just forgot to read it. But it's – a huge difference. Like, I just was going through his scrambles just to remind myself of the situation. And obviously the ones you highlighted are huge, but there's more. There was like a second and six where he gets it to a third and one. Like, and those are
also big. He scored a touchdown on a scramble. Yeah. That's an important one.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I just think, like, that is a great point. And it's something we talked about on the pregame preview, is that because of how they line up and because of how they rush, there would be a little bit more space. And there was. And I think he took advantage of that and was very confident in his ability to get that done. But talk about raising the floor of an offense just with five plays. And they kind of feel like nothing plays. This game reminded me a lot of the Arizona Cardinals game in that way. Is his scrambles in that game weren't super devastating necessarily. They weren't like, oh my God, that's going to kill you. But it was like, oh, here's a third and two. I'm going to scramble for a first down. Or here's a third and seven, or second and seven, I'm going to get us to a third and one. And that's a big deal, especially given, like, the stuff you just talked about, which I think is a great point, is like, when this play's taken away, they're covering the back, they're covering all the stuff, like, this should be a sack or this should be a throwaway, but you turn it into a positive play. It's extremely positive. And it lets the offense stay on rhythm, lets them stay on schedule, lets Cliff stay on schedule as a play caller. And it's so valuable. And it's, to me, it's like, how do you keep that high value, those high value scrambles in as you play better teams that are better at keeping them in the pocket? That would be my question moving forward, is like, because you see what it does for the offense, how do you continue to make sure that you have that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I hope they figure it out. They got a bye week to figure it out. So we'll talk about more of this, obviously, and maybe we can give some ideas when we do a self-scout a little bit later this week. Also worth mentioning that we're going to do a mailbag next Tuesday, because we won't have a film review show because, well, there's no game this weekend. So you can submit your mailbag questions any number of ways, including on Instagram at Hoffman.sports or at Logan_Paulson82. You can also go to HoffmanShow.com, click the contact link, and send them in that way.